Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
So good to be back.
Yay. What's on your shelf?
It's always my favorite episode. What's on your shelf?
I think we say it every time.
I think I did say this last time.
Because it's always our favorite.
I know. There's just books. Who doesn't love talking about books?
It's my favorite thing to do.
Always.
Hence, podcast about books.
I know. It's my excuse every week to talk about books. Anyway, and to listen to more books and read more books.
Read more books. Exactly. I mean,
super excited.
Nothing better.
Also,
life. Yes.
An exciting note before we get started.
Yes.
Next week's episode, we will be doing another author interview.
That's right. These weeks go by so fast that it seems like that's still weeks away.
No.
But it is not.
It's coming. And so stay tuned. We will be talking about our next author interview this week on social media. So pay attention. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Been reading the book. How about you?
I haven't started yet.
Oh, I'm
started. I need to get started. So
it's good. It's different than anything I've read before.
I'm excited for it because it is. No. It does sound very different.
It is different.
And one that I probably wouldn't have picked up otherwise. And so I love that when something pushes me to read something that wouldn't normally hit my shelf. So
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we also need our fun fact.
That is a great idea. Okay. Super interesting about Riley Sager is that that's not really his name.
Really?
Or it's his name. No, it's not his real name. He goes by multiple different names, but his real name is Todd Ritter.
Okay.
Also known under the nom de plume of Riley Sager and Alan Finn, he's an American author of thriller novels.
So that's his pen name.
His pen name, yes.
I have heard of people doing this.
Yeah, how interesting. Yeah. And I kind of wonder why. And he talks a little bit about this under his writing career. It says, as of 2020, Ritter has released 4 novels as Sager and 3 novels under his real name, the latter of which make up the Cat Campbell series, which I haven't heard of the Cat Campbell series. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Ritter has also released 1 novel under the pen name Alan Finn, Things Half in Shadow. He referenced the choice to write under the name Finn, stating that since we were looking for a new publisher, one could argue that editors would be willing to go with someone who had a clean slate rather than a critically acclaimed author with a spotty sales record.
Isn't that interesting?
So he's like,
so it's like
I'll throw
strategic.
Something new out there. Yeah.
So, you know, the only other person that comes to my mind is who wrote Harry Potter?
J.K. Rowling.
She wrote a book after the Harry Potter series under a different name.
Yeah.
Because she wanted it to have its own standing.
It could stand on its own and not go based off
yes,
of her.
But I don't think it did very well.
Yeah. So maybe she should have put it under her
That's
name.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. If it's working for you.
That's what I think.
Go with it. Also, Lemony Snicket.
Really?
That's not his real name. That's a pen name. But my son just got the memoir his memoir.
Really?
Lemony Snicket. And it is hilarious because he is just such a funny, unique writer.
Anyway,
I highly recommend it. It's a super fun book. But yeah, so people who swap up their names. And
I
go
know.
By different
I find
things.
That so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, how do you pick your name? And like,
and you get to pick your name.
I know. That's true, too.
Fun and...
And does that matter? Like, just you can put whatever name you want as the author? Like,
I mean, none of these are even similar. Alan Finn.
So then, like, when you go do interviews, they're going to be like, so let's say my pen name is Jessica
Todd Ritter.
Stodd. And they're going to go, Jessica. And I'm going to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I've never
Today
been called Jessica,
be Jessica
in my life.
And what if you don't respond and they're like, so Jessica. And you're like, oh, me?
Oh, yeah. You're
Sorry.
Talking to me.
Yeah. How funny.
Like you, that would be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. Or do you be like, you can call me Sarah.
Yeah. Do you let people, I mean, obviously it says it here, but when you go in for an interview, are you like, well, I'm really Todd Ritter.
Right.
But for this book, I'm.
I'd like to be.
Riley Sager.
Today, I think the person writing this book would be this person.
So call me this.
Right.
Maybe you have different personalities for different books.
Maybe you do.
So different types, different genres you write.
Like when I need a scary name.
Yeah.
Didn't you just say one of the names of an author we were looking at was like McQuestion?
McQuestion. Well, yeah, one of the books we were looking at to choose.
Is that their real name? Or is that a pen name? McQuestion. Now, I'm curious.
Now it's got to be a pen name. I've never heard of McQuestion.
That's a funny name to choose.
Interesting. I'm going to look them up next and find out.
I know. That's so interesting. I want to hear your thoughts.
It reminds
pen name
me of this.
Or real name?
So... Dumb sidebar here, like usual. When Scott and I were first married, my husband and I were first married, we went to my uncle's house, and he lived in a gated community where there's like a guardhouse in front of him. So when you pull up, you have to give them your last name. They write it down and you tell them whose house you're going to, and then they open the gate and let you through. So we were going to his house one day, and I said, what was the name I told him to say? Oh, dang it. Please remember. Her last name is Waddell. So Squaddell. I said, say Squaddell. And so we pull up and we're laughing and my sister's in the car and we're laughing so hard and we pull up and they're like, last name. And he goes, Squaddell. And he goes, could you spell it? And he said, Squaddell. It's like, I have no idea how I would spell Squaddell. And the guy's like, okay. And opened the gate and let us through. And we were laughing so hard. So we laugh all the time of Squaddell.
You're the Squaddells.
Squaddell.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That would be my nom de plume, my pen name. I'd pull
That's
out
Squaddell. That's very creative. I don't know if I'd want Squaddell. Like you sound like you're squatting.
I know.
Oh. You guys are so funny.
Our funny lives.
I have always wanted a middle name so I could, you know, create that for myself. That.
So, yeah, your author name would definitely have a middle
name. It
would
totally
definitely have a middle name.
Mine too.
And it would be better than Jamie Leanne from sixth grade, the middle name I gave myself.
Oh, yours was Jamie. Mine was Sarah Marie.
Sarah Marie. We'd come up with some better ones now.
I would definitely
Nothing
be
wrong
more
with
creative.
Those names, but
yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, on to what we've read this week.
Yay!
What's on your shelf, Sarah?
Do I get to go first?
I am allowing it.
All right. The first
Like I'm
book.
In control. I'm allowing you to go first. That's
I
not how this works.
I appreciate your kindness.
Yeah, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, the first book I'm going to talk about today is Conjure Women.
Witches?
Let me try to say by Afia Atakora.
Well done.
I hope I didn't butcher it. It's
Sounds good
a beautiful
to me.
Name.
Yeah.
This book it's a little different. I didn't know what to expect going into it. And so I felt like really surprised. Like the whole book, it was just like I had no expectations.
Had
yeah.
Okay.
I have seen it around quite a bit on like our Bookstagram.
Yeah.
Referenced and talked about. So that's kind of where I found out about it. But other than that, I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. And the idea of this book is it's Old South. Like the slaves were just freed, but it's still very new.
Yes.
And so the living conditions are not great. Mm-hmm. And they still kind of stay on their plantations and live there where they've always lived, but they no longer have like a master.
Okay.
Is that?
Yeah.
I know that's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the plantation owner is no longer in charge of them. Sure. It does jump back and forth a little bit from like when there was the plantation owner and to the current time where he's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. And a little bit about the before and after. So like you get to see a little bit of like what it was like before and what's happening after. And it's from the point of view of a girl whose mother was kind of the doctor.
Okay.
She's black. She was one of the servants. And she wasn't, I mean, she did odd ends around the plantation and the home, but she also, like, she just knew about medicine.
Okay.
And so when someone was sick, she knew the herbs and she knew the mm-hmm. things that would help. And she delivered all the babies. So she was the midwife and just kind of took care women problems. Mm-hmm. She definitely helped with women's problems. She helped, like, you know, because back then the plantation owner felt like he could do whatever he wanted with his slaves.
Right, right.
So if he took advantage of one of the women slaves, she would help them get rid of the babies. Like,
okay.
She just kind of did a little bit of everything.
Okay.
And so it takes place, like, the point of view is from her daughter. So you see her point of view as a child looking at her mother before, mm-hmm. and then as an adult, now her mother's passed, and she's kind of taken over the role as this medical woman, doctor, midwife person mm-hmm. for their town.
Okay.
But it is still at a time where there's not a lot known about medicine. And so they do kind of use, I don't know, like
wives' tales.
Yes. And just old ideas and beliefs about, like, what's actually healing people.
Yes.
And
yes.
that kind of thing. So they would sometimes they would go to her mother or her and ask for things like, and really her mother. They didn't ever dare treat her the same way as they treated her mother, but they would ask her mother for, like, I need, you know, my husband to stay away from me for a while, right? Like, I need yeah. a break. And so she would help them, like, okay, if you do this, like, if you walk over the river three times and you,
okay,
you know, just weird little, yes, okay. stuff like that. Or, like, this person did me wrong and now I want to kind of put a little curse on her.
Yeah.
Nothing that was super harmful, but enough to teach her yeah. a lesson, kind of an attitude. And so she would tell them things to do. And interestingly enough, like, everyone was always happy with the outcome.
With whatever happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
They so could it seems
something coming.
It from seemed to things. Work well for her, whatever she was having them do. And the daughter, as she tried to do all the things her mother did, she never fully understood all the things her mother did. And so it never was quite the same for her. So she can't quite fill the shoes of her mm-hmm. mother. And so she's not treated with the same reverence as her mother was. So she's kind of an odd duck. And yeah, they need her because she delivers the babies and she does help them when they're ill and things like that. They also kind of don't love
her.
Mock
her in a bit.
Yes. And she's other.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of her experience trying to find her way in their little community. And, like, a preacher man comes and how he kind of, you know, mixes things up and stirs things up, and there's an illness going around, and is it her fault? She's not helping them. They're not saving the baby. The babies are dying, and, you know, just weird things that are kind of happening. And then you find out that the master of the house had a daughter mm-hmm. that lived there, and you think that all of them are gone, and you find out that the daughter is still there as an adult, and why is she hiding away? And there's this weird connection between her and these servants, and it's just it was a different, interesting book, and, like, the outlook of midwifery at the time, and just how when there's things that we can't explain,
right,
and yeah. how we view them, and whether we accept them as good or bad, and, you know, and just the truth of that era is very hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was very interesting. I don't know a lot of that era. I don't think I've read a whole lot. And so that, for me, was super interesting. And I loved the storylines, and I thought the characters were very vibrant. And so I liked it. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
Because kind of an odd storyline, a little yeah. bit different. But it was really interesting.
You enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. 3 stars.
Interesting. I love finding, like, reading books or finding different, like, herbs and cures that people used at one time and yeah. the beliefs. I find that so fascinating.
It is. And I think that is, like, rooted in real things. Like, yeah. that probably could help us.
Yes. I agree.
So not to fully dismiss it, but maybe not fully embrace. But
well, let's put some science behind it.
Right.
And be sure what we're doing is actually working for what we want it to with yes. the least amount of side effects.
That's the right way to look at it. I'm all for
both of, like, let's put these old natural remedies with science.
Yeah.
And for get more sure. natural things in our bodies. I like it.
Yeah. So awesome. Conjure women.
Conjure women. 3 stars.
Yes.
Did you say conjure women? Conjure women. Okay.
Conjure women. Yep.
Sounds awesome. I go add that to my list. Okay. So I read One to Watch, which I've seen this around for a while. It didn't catch my eye at first. And for some reason this is the time I picked it up. It is by Kate Stayman London, and it is, I think it came out this last year, July of 2020. So the premise of this book is so interesting, and I think it's something that we need to talk more about and normalize more normal people, because that's what this is. It is, the main character is Bea Shoemaker, and she is a very, very stylish plus-size fashion blogger. So she has made it in the fashion industry as a plus size blogger. And she's got this huge following, this big group of amazing friends. She's got this great family, and she's got tons of Insta followers. Like, she is, like, people are just looking to her for everything and loving her openness about who she is and her body, and that you can stylishly dress bodies of any size. And awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. So she's great. And she's on the outside, very strong, independent woman, but has not found love, has always kind of put it off as, you know, I've got too much going on right now. But the real thing is, even though she's super confident, she wants to fall in love too. And nobody seems to
be interested
in her in that way. She's got lots of great friends and people want to be around her, but she's not being asked out on dates, you know, to get to know someone for a romantic thing. And so the opportunity for her to come on a reality TV show, it's kind of like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette reality TV show, like Find Your Love. It's called Main Squeeze. And they have all these, like, fantasy dates, like everything. And I'm not a big follower of The Bachelor.
Oh, I am.
And I know you are. So you know way more about this. This is, like, this my like introduction into reality TV, because I don't really watch it a lot. But they come after her with this idea of having her be the main squeeze and having her go on dates with all these, like, whatever they start out with, 25, 30 plus people. And the whole process of weeding it down, and she, and with all these different influencers and different brands that are paying her to wear their stuff on the show. And so instead of giving out a rose, she gives out a kiss. And every week it's like a different color lipstick by this one sponsor brand. Oh, and she gives them a kiss on their cheek with this lip color. Anyway, so it's just like that, but it goes into, how plus size people are viewed, like the men that come on the show, how they respond to her, because they come on not knowing who this main squeeze is going to be.
Right.
And always historically, it's a thin, beautiful woman and a bunch of beautiful men that come. And so she comes on, and the majority of the men that are on it are good looking fit men, but there are a few that are, there's, I think, maybe one or two that are just your regular average guys.
Okay.
But the rest are what you would expect from reality TV Bachelor. But then they come on and they see her, and the reactions she's getting from people and the comments she's getting on her Instagram from people. Like, yes, she has a lot of people who are like, you go girl, we love what you do. But then there's this hate and how disgusting and gross and she should cover up. And why would she take a picture of her body? And just the mean, cruel things that people say.
So sad.
To her. And that some of these bachelors that come on, some of these men on Main Squeeze come on and they like, same kind of reaction. Like, they'll pretend for a certain amount of time, but when it really comes down to it, nobody really wants to hug her or kiss her, or if they do, are they just doing it for show, to be on the show and to continue on? Or are any of these feelings real? And so she's debating this and just dealing herself with her own feelings about herself, that she is worthy of love and that she is lovable and she deserves someone who loves her for who she is, and she doesn't have to change or try to be someone that she's not. Aww. And so she's going through all those things as she's going through this reality TV and putting on a persona. And I think it's just great that there's a plus size person written about in a book. That's
absolutely
normalizing that they exist. Have
feelings and we deserve all the things.
Yeah. And everyone is different in different sizes and colors and shapes and likes, but everyone deserves
totally
love regardless. And it's believing in yourself and finding that person that you can trust that loves you for who you are.
Yeah.
It was an awesome book.
What'd you give it?
I gave it 4 stars.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great. Great topic.
Awesome.
And something to really think about, how we treat other people and what we say, and
I'm definitely what we say matters. That one out.
So I highly recommend it. One to watch.
All right. I love it.
Yes.
Okay. The next one on my list is One of Us is Next. Have you read that one?
Now, is that the sequel to One of Us is Lying?
Yes.
I have not read it yet.
Because you haven't
One of Us is Lying.
Okay.
I did finally read it, but no, I have not read One of Us is Next.
Okay, so One of Us is Next. It's the same premise, right? Like
same characters?
Same characters.
Okay,
so it's the similar thing. Like they had it's the same high school, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit later. It's like the older kid, those kids have kind of graduated, and now it's like there's a younger sibling and then some younger people. So they are still kind of a part of this, but they're kind of distantly a part of it. They've moved on from
high school.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's been some, I guess, like after the whole experience where Simon was the bad guy in the last book, mm-hmm. he's had all these copycat people who tried to start something similar where they spread gossip around the school, you know, in a way to like get back at people he was angry with. Right. And somehow someone came up with a new idea that actually stuck, right? Like everything kind of fizzled out. Nothing ever really took or was ever anything, but someone came up with a good idea where they're going to play a game of truth or dare. And everyone in the school got these blasted text messages.
Okay.
And you were forced to play. If you chose not to play, that meant you chose truth. And your
truth was going to come out about you.
Yes. And so you could either choose the dare and do something dangerous, or you could choose the truth and or not say anything, and the truth would be revealed. The
truth would be revealed. So everyone's put in a position to do these dares.
Right. And so it's about this group of friends who all have different situations, different, you know, relationship things that are happening, really, you know, whether it's with a love interest or a family member or a parent, you know, like mm-hmm. that they are dealing with. And then the secrets that came out about them were always surprising. Like you never saw them coming, right? It was like, wait, what? And it was really interesting. I thought it was really fun. You know, Karen M. McManus. Sorry, okay. That was a mouthful for me. She does just a really good job spinning these mysteries. Mm-hmm. And it feels real life because she uses like gossip. I love that because it really is something that is scary.
Yeah.
Like there is certain things that you just, if taken out of context, feels really bad.
Right.
And can do so much damage. Like how words really do so much damage.
Absolutely.
Right. And then how sometimes, you know, your dare might go a little sideways.
Yeah.
And so it's how a dare does go bad. Right. And was it an accident or was that on purpose? Was someone trying to kill someone, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just all of this underlying questions and nobody dares really talk about it. And the roundabout way of how they try and figure out what actually happened during the Dare Gone Wrong.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. It's called One of Us is Next. I gave it 3 stars. And definitely if you like her books,
yeah,
this is right on target. I really enjoyed
One of Us is Lying. I think it is the perfect scenario for high school students.
Yes.
Because now if someone was like, well, I'm going to make this truth, I'll release this truth about you, I'd be like, go for it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Totally.
But when you're in high school and you're thinking that's everything and your reputation matters and everyone's looking at you and you couldn't possibly get out of this.
Yeah.
That is when rumors and secrets really could take a hold on someone.
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, like these secrets are a big deal. Like the ones, you know, like one is that one of the secrets that gets released is about a girl who slept with her sister's recent ex-boyfriend. Okay. So like she, and it's her sister who never had a boyfriend. So that was like devastating for her,
for her and her sister's relationship.
She didn't know that she had done that. So there were some secrets that were revealed that were awful, you know, but anyway, it's very interesting. I do find that like where the, it's always just better to tell the truth. Like secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt someone. Like always, even if you've done something wrong, I tell that to my kids all the time, but it's like even if you've done something wrong, like it's always better to tell.
Just tell the truth before you get caught. It's going to come out.
Always.
Let it be out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Always
because
better.
It's so, I mean, not that it wouldn't be hurtful. It's going to hurt probably. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's more important to hear it from you than someone else. Anyway, that it was good. One of Us is Next. And it is a fun little twist. Like kind of, it's can you see who the bad guy is and all of that, right?
Yeah, figuring it out.
And are they really bad?
Yeah, that one's already on my list, so I'll have to move that one up higher. Okay, my next one is called Winter Counts.
Hmm.
And this one is by David Heska Wambly Whedon.
What? Wow. Oh,
that's a long one. David Heska Wambly Whedon. And it came out August of this year. And this is a book that I really liked.
Creepy cover.
It is kind of a creepy cover. It is kind of a, I mean, it is kind of an intense book, but it was interesting because, so it's definitely a thriller, but it takes place on a Native American reservation. And that's not something I know a lot about.
Sure.
How the politics and whatnot work on a reservation. And the laws, how they differ from the laws off a reservation, they kind of regulate their own. But then there are some outside laws and how politics get involved in that. And so super interesting. The main character, his name is Virgil Wounded Horse. And he is... it's called the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And he's like a vigilante. Like... Because he sees justice not happening, people will hire him to
enforce justice.
And so he will go and beat people up or threaten people. So he's not a legal law enforcer.
Sure.
But he makes sure people are punished when people commit crimes. And so he's kind of known around town for that. And the law enforcement knows that this is what he's doing, but they've never really caught him or been able to, you know, get him to stop doing it.
Okay.
So there is an influx of heroin coming in and drugs in general, marijuana and heroin coming into the reservation. And it's always been marijuana before. So it's kind of been overlooked as, you know,
it's not too dangerous.
But all of a sudden, heroin shows up and they're wondering, like, where is this coming from?
Oh.
And how's it being distributed? And so he is hired to kind of look into this. And it kind of shows the politics of who's buying who on the reservation and who off the reservation is paying for silence and...
Oh.
Who's in whose pocket is really what it is, and how unfair it is to the people of the reservation who are trying to survive are, I mean, oftentimes these are very poor homes. They don't have a lot of money in the first place. There aren't a lot of jobs in the first place there. They're trying to get, you know, there are people who are trying to get reform there and to teach like the native ways of cooking and using nutritious food, because not only is alcoholism a problem, but also diabetes is a problem on the reservation because of poor nutrition. And so there are people there that are trying to do good for their people, trying to teach them proper nutrition and teach them how to, you know, be prosperous right. on their own lands, but they can't really get anywhere because of the money that is buying off other programs and organizations and police force. And then you throw this whole drug thing in with the drug cartel. And so this vigilante is just, he's hired to go and do to, you know, find out where this heroin is coming from. And he's unraveling
so much more
in this job. And it's really interesting to see a day in the life on the reservation. And so I was really, you know, just really interested not reading or knowing a lot about reservations and the function, and just knowing from a very, very outside perspective, hearing of some of the troubles and some of the issues on the reservations. Very interesting to read about it.
And you
I gave it 4 stars.
Ooh.
And the author, which I thought was cool too, he is a member of the Sikongu Lakota Nation and an author. So I think he has, you know, firsthand experience here and writing about what he knows. And I think it's awesome.
Very cool.
A very, very interesting book. And so Winter Counts.
Winter Counts. Very good.
Well written. You could really like the imagery of what these lives are like is really well done.
That is really cool.
I really liked it.
Awesome. Okay. Okay. My next book is This Tender Land by William Kent Krueger.
Okay. I have not heard of that.
So this came out last year, and it's, I've seen it everywhere. It has over 64,000 ratings, and it's 4.38 stars. So I've been like looking forward to reading this. It is a little different than like my normal go-to read.
Okay.
It takes place in the 1930s.
Okay.
And it's about a boy named Odie O'Banion. And it's kind of just it's the story.
Odie and Banion, his last name?
Odie. O'Banion.
O'Banion's the last name. Okay.
Okay. Odie is his name. And he's like telling the story as an adult, but he's telling you about this thing that happened to him as a child.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he's narrating his story.
His story.
So you kind of like get this little, every once in a while he throws in like, when I was, you know, serving in the army. So that happened obviously when he's not in a child. So he just kind of throws in these tidbits about his future life, which was so interesting.
Yeah.
Because
kind of the backwards way of.
Yes. Of like telling you the end. The
story. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, but he's telling the story, and his parents both passed away when he was like, I think his mom passed when he was like 2, and then his dad passed when he was like 8.
Oh my gosh.
And him and his older brother end up being taken in by an orphanage children's school that you live at the school.
Yeah.
That was mainly for, like, the school was made, this is a real thing. Like, the government made these schools for Native Americans.
Oh,
to educate them.
Yes, that was a definite
right.
Thing.
So you would
take them off the reservation and educate them in American schools.
Yes,
these boarding homes. Okay,
and then they would send them home, thinking like, now
you can help your community
become more like modernized,
streamlined. We're yes. going to streamline us all together.
Okay. Okay. So they got taken in by one of these schools. Okay. So they were like the only, he's a white kid.
Okay.
Okay. And so him and his brother were like the only white children. I mean, there were a couple of other children that attended the school, but a majority were like orphans or Native Americans that were taken away from their land or whatever. And so like life on this, in this school, and you know, it starts there, and there was a husband and wife that ran this school, and the wife was just really mean. You know, they called her the witch, mm-hmm. and she, for whatever reason, really did not like Odie, and he was always in trouble, and like trouble meant like he would go without meals, he would get placed in like basically like solitary confinement, like he would have to sleep in a room by himself in the dark, and
How traumatizing to a kid.
I know. But he, like, handled it like a champ. Like, he didn't care. Like, let her get mad at me so I miss breakfast, you know, or whatever. But then they'd make him go and work. So they would – that was the other thing that they would do with these kids at the school. The local farmers would basically use these children as free labor.
Oh, my gosh.
So they would come and be like, I need people on the farm. So they'd come pick up the kids, and they'd have to go work out on the farm for free. And it was considered, like –
That was education. Part of their room and board, part yeah, of their program. Education.
So they basically were just slave labor. It was crazy. Like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was another guy who worked at the school. Obviously, there was a woman who loved them and thought, you know, I think I can adopt you. Like, I'm going to have you come live, both him and his brother. And then she ended up, there was a lot of things that happened. So she was talking about adopting them. He had another teacher that really looked out for him and tried to sneak him food and do things for him. And then there was another teacher who was like awful to all the kids and like abused them, sexually abused them. And you never wanted to be caught alone with him.
Yeah.
And then occasionally people would just disappear from the school. And they would always say, oh, he tried to run away and the authorities took him to a different prison or to a different place to scare people from running away. But they never really knew what happened to these children. And there was, you know, come to find out this one guy was like killing these kids, like abusing them and killing them. And right when they think they're going to be adopted, the mother also has a daughter that's her daughter. There's a big tornado and the mother dies. And so now the witch takes in the daughter. And she was so sweet and this woman was so kind and they were like, what in the world? We can't leave her there. But they decide that they've got to go. They can't stay in this. Him and his brother, they cannot stay under the witch any longer. They've got to go and find. They have an aunt that lives somewhere else in another state and they've got to go find her. So in their efforts to leave, there's a lot of shenanigans. I don't want to give away any spoilers. There's a lot that goes wrong in their efforts to leave, and they end up taking their friend with them and the girl, and they run away, and the rest of the story. So that was just the beginning. It's their escapades as they try to make it to their aunt, who is hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like in the middle of the Great Depression, and there's farmer, you know, so they end up just all the things that happen to them along the way.
To get travel, to survive.
While they are being chased by the witch.
By the witch. Oh my gosh.
Okay. So it's so fun.
It
is a fun story. I mean, it's like.
Like a Huckleberry Finn.
I was going to say that. Or the Sandlot, right? Like, imagine these boys that are just out there trying to figure out the world.
Right.
And
on their own.
In the middle of the Great Depression. And the people along the way, the ones that help them, that are so colorful. Mm-hmm. It was a really
fun
book. I liked it. I gave it 4 stars. I really did like it. It was a different kind of book than I usually read, but it kept me. And there's quite the twist at the end that was really fun.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to give that away, but it was like, oh, I didn't see that coming, number one. And then there is a whole connection. And there's a reason why the witch is so mean to him. And you don't find out till the end. Anyway, it's very interesting.
I can't wait.
I know.
Tell me the title again.
It's called This Tender Land.
This Tender Land. Okay. I'm excited for that one.
I know. It was good.
Okay. My next book is Lisa Jewell's new book. I love Lisa Jewell.
She's a great mystery writer. Yes,
a great mystery thriller.
Yeah.
I've read many of her books, but her newest one that came out in October is Invisible Girl.
Okay.
And it did not disappoint.
Ooh.
Another good Lisa Jewell.
Very good.
I gave it 4 stars. It was all the things you expect when you want a good thriller mystery book. So it takes place in a town where there's a family. It's a husband and wife. She's a physiotherapist, but she's kind of put her career on hold and only works occasionally to take care of the family. She is the stay-at-home mom who just makes everything run smoothly and has okay. kind of given that career side up to provide this for her family. Her husband is a child psychologist, and then they've got a daughter and a son. And something, and I don't even remember, something happens to their home where it, some kind of a flood or fire or in it, something where it needs renovations and they can't live there. And so the insurance is covering the renovations of their home and providing so much a month to live somewhere else while these renovations are going on. And so they decide to go to this upper class neighborhood where they weren't in a bad area.
Sure.
But just for the opportunity to live on kind of a ritzy street. They rent this smaller space and live on this nicer side of town with these quiet streets, different than what they've lived in before. And so they're living there, and they're living there. I mean, it's like a year while they're waiting for these renovations to go on that they're in this place. Wow. And so in this new place, they're kind of learning the neighborhood, and they don't really know people, and people are kind of keep to themselves, and they end up not really loving it. It's not all that they thought it would be. Like from the outside, when you view a street and you think,
yes,
ooh, wouldn't it be so great to live there? And then they get there and it's not
what it seemed.
It's not what it seemed. It's not as glamorous as they thought, and nobody's super friendly. They really haven't met anyone. And across the street is a home that a lady owns it, but her nephew is living there in one room. And so, and he's kind of, he keeps to himself, kind of a loner. He's in his 30s. And it kind of tells you his little backstory too. From the outside, he's odd to the neighbors. They watch him kind of come and go, and he's just odd. He doesn't ever talk to anyone.
Okay.
Doesn't ever do anything. But then you find his story, and he's a teacher at a college, and he is kind of odd. He's never really fit in. He's never had a girlfriend. He's never had sex. He's a virgin still. And he's just trying to figure out why don't I fit in, and why don't I have friends, and why can't I ask somebody out on a date? And
yeah.
I'm just accepting that I'll be by myself. You know, I'm living with this aunt that took me in when I was young, and nothing's really happening in my life. It's not jumping off like it has supposed to.
Oh.
Well, he gets accused of being inappropriate with a student. And so he gets put on probation while there's an investigation. So as this story starts, he is now home all the time. And he's mad about this. He's been a good teacher. He feels like he's been wrongly accused, but what can he, you know, it's not looking good like for him.
His word against
like
her
word. His whole career and his name are going to be, how can he even come back from this?
Aww.
You know, like how could he come back to teaching when he's been accused of something like this and his name's been dragged through the mud? So he's just sitting home and kind of just getting angrier and angrier, and it's not helping the situation that he's been in where he doesn't have friends and now he has zero connection and he's home all the time. And so he starts getting on the internet and, you know, looking for questions, you know, typing in questions like when you've been accused of something, and he finds this group that I had never heard of this before, but it's called INCEL group, which stands for involuntary celibate. So you've been celibate, but not by choice. You'd like to be with someone, but it's just never happened and nobody really wants to be with you. I don't know if it's a real thing or not. I've never heard of it, but it's like this mysterious side of the internet where there's these forums and people are just, it's a group of people that he stumbles across that he never knew existed. And he relates to them because he's like them too. He wants to be with someone.
Yeah.
It just never worked. And he doesn't quite know why there's been no connection or interest and why the disconnect in his life.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with him across the street. Well, the family on the other side of the street that's living there for this year, the daughter is walking home from the bus station one night and she feels like she's being followed. And so she calls her mom and her mom talks to her while she's walking home and she gets home safely, but she really feels like somebody is following her and watching her and is right there. And there seems to be a rash of things like this happening, of people following people, people coming up and actually assaulting women and girls on the street. And
that's awful.
This seems to be happening more and more. And so as they start investigating into like, what's going on here, we've got this other story of a girl who lives a little bit a ways that was raised by her grandpa. I don't remember the reasons, but her grandpa is raising her and an uncle, and she's dealing with some PTSD from a previous event in her life. And she's dealing with a lot of things, and she's seen a therapist and is starting to make progress and really connecting with this therapist. And this therapist decides that she's ready to be released and doesn't need to come anymore. And she's really kind of doesn't feel like she's ready and kind of starts to spiral down into this depression and this PTSD. And so she is out on the streets and kind of just watching people, just interested in other people, and not knowing what to do with this pent up energy. She's just walking at night, just going out and walking around. Anyway, this girl goes missing.
Oh.
And so amongst the sexual assault charges that are going on and this weird guy across the street, police are coming around and interviewing people, and things are being said about, well, this guy seems weird over here. And they start looking into him and they see that he has,
A pending charge
at the school that they're investigating in. Things really aren't looking good for him now. And neighbors just, you know, not knowing really what's going on behind closed doors or knowing these people are saying things about each other.
Yeah.
And are they right? Are they wrong? Who's really at fault here and what's really going on? And things just start being uncovered as this investigation goes on.
About all the neighbors.
All, everyone. Yeah.
Ooh.
It is layered and so interesting and really like, you know, when you hear someone's been accused of sexual assault or sexual misconduct, you have a tendency to judge that person. And what happens when someone's judged wrongly? But are they really wrong? Or do they just seem to be an odd person? But you've got two things going against you now. And you're an odd person, and even your own aunt, like just all the layers here.
Who I am very interested.
Secrets, who has secrets? Who doesn't have secrets? And who's telling the truth? So good.
Really?
So good.
What I love did you Lisa give Jewell. It?
4 stars.
Awesome.
Loved it. Kept me going the whole time. I listened to it really quickly. Great book.
Another
great
awesome. One
by Lisa Jewell. I love her.
All right. Well, that's all I have today.
Yeah, that's good for me.
What a fun day.
Yes. I think
get reading, all of people.
Mine were 4 stars today.
See, today was we've my 4-star week. Because last time I like gave all stars. My 5 stars, like all in a womp.
You passed them all out beginning of the year.
Yep. So this year, and maybe that's why, or this year, this week.
Yeah.
I'm like, they were good.
Right.
But just not. As good. As good.
Isn't it funny how our weeks go up and down
mm-hmm.
with what we choose and Who knows when we start?
I know.
That's the fun of reading. You never know.
I know.
So
I am very excited about what I'm currently reading.
Yeah. So I can't wait to talk about that.
I know.
A couple more weeks.
There you go.
Okay.
Very good. You guys are awesome. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook. Reach out. Let us know what you're thinking.
And you can, or you can send us an email at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from
you. We love hearing from you and interacting with you. You guys have been so much fun.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music at the beginning, at the end of each podcast.
Yep. And we'll see you next time. Yep. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.